Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, we're going to be looking at three verses of Scripture this morning. I'm going to speak to you on the subject of life's important issues, or life's most important issues. There's many things in life that we need to know as a person travels through life. There's many things that we need to learn and find out and to know. We need to know how to manage our money. We know how to need to know how to put gas in the car, and sometimes that can be a challenge for some folks. Sometimes we need to learn to prepare food. I'm not much of a cook, and if you depended on me to feed you a meal, it would not be good. But when I was living by myself, I learned to cook French fries and a bottle of ketchup, and that was sufficient. It got me through. But I could have learned some things along the way. We have to learn to dress ourselves, to match our clothes, to put on our shoes, tie our shoes. Remember the big thing, learning to tie your shoe and to tie it right. We've got to learn that green means go, red means stop, and yellow means speed up. And we just got to learn those things. I think about Ava when she was really small, probably 14 months old. She learned quick that green meant go and red meant stop. But she was a little witty and having fun. And so when the light would be green, she'd say, "Go, stop, Granddaddy, stop." And I said, "No, the light's green." And then if it was red, she'd say, "Go, Granddaddy, go." And, of course, she was just kidding with me. She knew exactly what it was. But this is a small sampling of things that are important in our life. It's so important that we understand and learn these things. I'm grateful for an education. I wish that I was smarter than I am and have had more education than I do. But I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to go to school. I'm glad that when I finished school, I could read and I could write and I could do many of the most important things that come in my life. And yet we realize that there's matters in our life that need to be understood as very important. And by the way, there's nothing any more important than the words we find in the Word of God. The Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is counted profitable. And I'm going to tell you, it's profitable in my life and it's profitable in your life and it's profitable in everybody's life that will put their faith and trust in the Lord. In these three verses that I'm fixing to read, we find the things that is basically the least we need to know. Just the least that we need to know that we find in the Word of God. Look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians 6, beginning verse number 9. He said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, or drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together once again to open the Word of God, to study it together. And I pray today, Lord, that you might just help us as we open the Bible, Lord, to look and see some of the most important words that we'll ever find. And Lord, how sad it is today that some people go through life and literally never, even if they hear, they don't understand. And if they do understand, they refuse and reject the very words that God has given to us in His Word. Father, I pray today that you would guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help. I pray today that your Spirit would be in our midst. I pray that you deal with the hearts of folks that are here. And we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. There's three things that I think we find in this passage of Scripture that we need to know. You know, today the Bible said faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against thee." He said, "Thy word was a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." There's many more verses that I could share with you this morning, but I think you get the gist of what I'm saying. The Word of God is the very most important thing that we'll ever hear or understand as we serve the Lord. Now, the three things that we need to learn, and I'll give them to you quickly this morning, is where you've been. Where you've been. I go back today and look back in my life, and truly, I'm not proud of some of the places that I've been. But I'm grateful today for the place I am, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I'll get there in just a minute. But Paul describes the current condition of people that are lost in their sin, people that are without Christ. In verses 9 and 10, I'm going to read it, not for repetition, but I do want to read it again so that you understand it. "Know ye not," he said, "that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, before I go any further, let me stop and say, when we say that and realize that the unrighteous, and he goes on and we'll read the things that he lists, we understand that those things, literally, a person that remains in that sin will die and go to hell. But friend, there's one little simple word that can fix the whole thing. It can solve the whole problem. It can put you on the path to eternal life, and that's the word believe. The Lord said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Aren't you glad this morning that we serve a forgiving God, one that looks down on us? Listen, you and I wouldn't stand a chance today had it not been for the mercy and the grace of God. He's willing to forgive us of our sin. Now, he goes on to describe some very plain-spoken problems that exist in the lives of lost people. He said, "Be not deceived." He said, "Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." I want to remind you today that with any of those problems, if you add the word believe and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your sin can be washed away. It can be forgiven and cast under the blood of Jesus Christ, never to be remembered against you anymore. However, if you do that, there's got to be a change that comes in your life. The Bible said, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, when we come to this passage of Scripture, we notice, first of all, a wretched condition. Those that are unrighteous. The unrighteous would be the lost people, people that are not destined for heaven, and they're not going to get to heaven as long as they refuse and reject the way of salvation that God has provided for us. I'm glad today, and I believe, and I'm not saying that any of us here today are perfect by any means, but if we're saved by the grace of God, we are a righteous people doing what we can to try to please God. Not to say there's not times that we perhaps do not sin against God, but we're unrighteous, and to be unrighteous would mean we're separated from God. Separated from God forever until we make the choice of doing what Christ would have us to do. Whether we like to think about it or not, and a lot of people like to feel good and just say, "Well, you know, I know God's a loving God and everything's going to be all right." Friend, listen, if you read your Bible, you'll understand the truth of what the Bible said. The Bible said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It said, "In the last day, those that have not confessed their sin will be cast into the lake of fire where they'll burn forever and forever and forever." I didn't say that. That's what God said. And I would hate to know today that I was bound for hell. I'm glad to know that I've been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was it a wretched condition of being unrighteous, but notice it was a wicked condition. He said, "Be not deceived." Here's a list of things that he gives to us. Lost people live like they do because of who they are. Their condition is manifest in their behavior. Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21, it refers to the works of the flesh are manifest in their lives. In these two verses, Paul catalogs a list of sins or characteristics of a lifestyle that is characteristic of a person that is lost. Now, friend, today I know people say, "Well, you know, people can sin and they can still go to heaven. If you're saved for all eternity." I believe that. But, friend, salvation will bring a change in your life. Not a change of perfection, not a change to where you perhaps are the greatest Christian in all the world, but a change, nevertheless, that people will know that you're saved by the grace of God. I tell you today, I'm grateful for eternal security that's taught in the Bible. But I'm afraid today there's a lot of people going to bust hell wide open because they've depended on eternal security. And in all reality, there's really never been a change in their life. And I believe if you're saved and born again, you'll know it. I believe you'll know there's been a time when you've trusted Christ as your Savior and be born again. In 1 John 2:16, he said, "For all that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." He speaks of sexual corruption. He talks about fornicators. That's those that live sexually immoral in their lives. And by the way, boy, today society is messed up when all that comes about. And it's constant that we hear about it. And people practice it. And even people that put themselves in the position of saying they're saved, and yet they think nothing about it. But the truth is, he said, such were some of you. In other words, there had to have been a change in your life. He talks about adulterers. Those would be those who are unfaithful to their mate. When God gave us our mate, we said, "To death do we part." It was a determination that we was going to live and love and stay with that person. That was the wife that God had for us, or the husband that God had for us. And we was going to be faithful to that. And to become unfaithful is to be adulterous. And listen, what's he saying? He said fornicators and adulterers are not going to have a place in the kingdom of heaven. You said, "Oh, but I've been saved." And listen, I believe people can sin, but I don't believe people will continue to sin. I believe when you sin, if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you'll be convicted and you'll get it right. And get right with God in order that you might serve Him and be obedient to Him. He talks about effeminate abusers of themselves. And, of course, that's talking about homosexuality. It's talking about many things there. Effeminate, to be soft, abuser of themselves with mankind. And I tell you today, that's part of the Word of God. And we see it today more than we ever have. We see it on every hand. America indicates our society, I believe, is under the judgment of God. I believe today we see wickedness like we've never seen before. Then he speaks of a spiritual corruption. He calls them idolaters. In other words, idolaters will not have a part in the kingdom of heaven. You said, "Now wait a minute, preacher. Well, you say all the time that some of us have idols. And I believe we do have idols. But if you continue to put idols above Christ and set them up above the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, he said, according to the Word of God, that you'd have no place in the kingdom of heaven." I'm telling you, folks, I believe this matter of salvation is a little bit more serious than most people think. I think there's a little bit more to it than we try to understand. It's not sign a card. It's not go through the baptistry water. It's not to say a little prayer, by the way. I believe to get saved, you got to pray a prayer. But you better be sure, the Bible said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He speaks of social corruption. Don't have time to spend on it today, but he talks about thieves, those that take from others. He speaks of covetousness, those that are greedy and desire what others have. He speaks of drunkards, those who are controlled by alcohol and other chemical substances. He speaks of revilers, those who destroy with their tongues and wound with their words. They use harsh language. Boy, today, I tell you, it fits the day in which we live. Extortionists, those who steal indirectly and take unfair advantage of others. Now, Paul's words were, he said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" I tell the folks when we go to YDC, I promise you, those guys at YDC, many of them have committed, well, I know they've committed sin, but many of them have committed crime, and some of them have committed great crime. We've even dealt with some that has killed people. And it's nothing that you say, "Well, what can you do for them?" I can tell them about Jesus Christ, and I believe that they can be born again. I believe that with all my heart. I believe God is willing. Somebody said, "What's the unpardonable sin?" The unpardonable sin is refusing to accept Christ as your Savior. I believe today that the Lord stands ready. And by the way, I surely say this, when a person sins against God, they got to pay the price. And it doesn't mean that we ought to let them out of jail or we ought to let them off with a free card. They understand that they must pay the debt for society. But then Paul goes on in verse number 11, and he says, "But some of you But ye are washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified. The word, but weren't some of you, implies that every Christian in Corinth was not living that immoral, unrighteous life. Do you know today, I know some really good people. And I've heard people say this. People say to me, preacher, if so-and-so, if anybody goes to heaven, they're going to go to heaven. And the reason they say that is because they're so kind. They're a good neighbor. They're a good friend. They'd give you the shirt off their back. And that's a wonderful thing. If you've got that kind of a friend and you've got that kind of a neighbor, I tell you, that's a great relationship to have. But don't be deceived. Friend, today they can be as good as gold. But the fact is, if they've never learned to know the truth of the most important issues in life, they'll die in their sin and spend eternity in hell. And I think of the people that we neglect to tell. And yet one day, I believe when they're judged, I believe they're going to look at us and say, why did you not tell me what Christ did for me? The Bible said we're dead in our trespass and sin. He said, but such were some of you. He said, you know, you might have been doing the right things. You may have been going through all the right motions, but until you met Christ, you were just as lost as you can be. During the course of his ministry, Jesus raised three people from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter. He raised the widow of Nain's son. And he raised Lazarus. But could I tell you something today? He's been raising people from the dead all through the ages because I was one of them that he raised. And he quickened me. And he gave me eternal life. They were all dead, but they were in different states of decay. But I tell you today, it doesn't matter what state of decay you're in. Friend, there's still hope as long as you got breath. There's still hope as long as you have a desire. I hear people all the time say, preacher, I'm going to get saved before I die. I just got to have some fun, and I got to do some things that I want to do, and I got to go to the place I want to go. But I tell you, one day, listen, don't count on it, because most people, sometime they die suddenly. And there's no opportunity and there's no guarantee. Thank the Lord for those. I think of the thief on the cross. He said, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. And Jesus said, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Regardless of where you were when the Lord found you. And by the way, the Lord found you. You didn't find him because he wasn't lost. We were. Did he find you in a Sunday school class? Was it in a church pew? Could it have been in your living room that somebody come and told you about Christ? Did God find you perhaps living as a drunkard or perhaps with a needle in your arm? It makes no difference where he found you. What makes the difference is you're still lost in your sin until you repent and trust Christ as your Savior. Our sin is stench in the nostrils of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said in Isaiah 64, all our righteousness are as filthy rags and do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. In spite of how, and by the way, could I tell you something? It's most of the time, it's easy to get a person saved that knows they're lost. But you find somebody that don't know they're lost, and you got your work cut out for you, because you can't convince them that they're lost. But I can tell you today, we're all lost in our sin until we put our faith and trust in Christ. Take a moment and think back with me where you were. Where you were. I don't encourage people to dwell on their sin. I don't encourage people to revel in their sin. But I think it's good to go back and remember where we were, where he brought us from, and where we could have been. And every day that I get up, I thank God for the place that I'm at. When I think back of the place that I used to be, take a moment and remember. He said in Isaiah 51:1, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. As you look back, may it be clear, if you're lost, that you're lost, and that you're unrighteous. But in that case, keep listening, and God wants to save you and will save you. If you can see a change in your life, you can rejoice. I tell you today, somebody said, well, preacher, I just battle with it. I mean, how can we know that we're saved? Again, it's not based on perfection, but it's based on a change. It's based on a desire. It's based on our prayer. And what we do is we serve the Lord. God knows our heart. I believe when a person gets saved and when they get saved in church, we encourage people to come down the aisle. We take the Bible, show them what they need to do, how they can be saved. But I'm going to tell you, I believe this with all my heart. I believe that many times when people step out in that aisle and take the first step toward this altar, God knows their heart and probably saves them before they ever get here. But we're going to be sure that they know what they did and that they get born again because God knows and understands your heart. Need to know where we've been. I'll tell you, unfortunately, some of us, we don't like to think about where we've been. But I tell you what, when I think about where I've been, I stand in amazement at where I am. The second thing we notice is who you are. We go back to verse 11, and he said, "Were such were some of you." Now, I love the word "were." That means a change has occurred. He said, "This is what you used to be. It's how you used to live." And there's been a marvelous and glorious change in your life. Brother Lester used to sing it, and I sing it and play the guitar a little bit sometime when I sing that song. But it said, "Today I went back to the house where I used to live. My little boy ran and hid behind the door. I said, son, never fear, you've got a new daddy. And thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore." I tell you, he said, that were, that's what I used to be. Thank God I'm not that anymore. Jesus makes a positional change in our life. We were unrighteous. We were lost. We were headed for hell. But thank God today for now a change in our condition. I remember the direction I was going before I got right. But now I thank the Lord for these 43 years. Again, not in perfection and not without mistakes and not without problems. But by the grace of God, I've been headed in the right direction on the path that God has called me to. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. In these verses, there's a change that comes about. Colossians 1:12-14, giving thanks unto the Father which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, listen, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I tell you, when I got changed, there was a positional change in my relationship with Christ. Before I got saved, I was lost. I was not a child of God. But when I got saved, I got adopted into the family of God. He gave me eternal life. What made this change? It all goes back to the cross. But I want you to understand, I'm not saved by the cross. You wear a cross around your neck, and many people do, but that's not going to get you to heaven. Friend, I tell you, the reason I'm going to heaven is because of the person who hung on that cross and bled and died in order that I might have salvation. We're saved or changed through what transpired there. That day, God turned his back on his son, forsook him, that he might take our sin in order that we might have eternal life. We are changed with what was transacted there. We were changed through what was transferred there and given to our sin. You see, my sins were transferred to Jesus. Somebody said, I thought he was without sin. He was without sin, but he took our sin in order that he might pay the price. My ransom's been paid in full. It's been applied to my account. Oh, how it is when Peter put it in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Here's what Paul said in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, listen, you were sometimes afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thanks to Calvary, the unrighteous can become righteous in the sight of God. We're reminded of that in verses 9 and 10, and I'll not take time to read it again. But Jesus makes a personal change, and such were some of you. It's important to remember where you came from. But you need to know who you are now and understand what Christ did. This verse reminds us that we've been made into a new people. Salvation changed the way we live. Jesus does this in every life he saves. Makes no difference who we are. If any man be in Christ, new creature, old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new birth. I'm reading a story of a Jewish man. He tells the story of getting saved. And he said that he married a lady that was a Christian. And he was raised, of course, to not believe in Jesus and believe he was the Messiah. But he listened to his wife. And so one day, without her knowing, he didn't want her to know because he was embarrassed for her to know. He got him a Bible, and he'd stay 2 hours after work every day, and he would just read his Bible. Not working, he'd just stay at work because he didn't want her to know. He said when he looked in it, he said he saw it was divided into two books. One was the Old Testament, and one was the New Testament. He said, I didn't know nothing about it, but I knew I needed something new. So he said, I started out in the New Testament. And I tell you, he goes on to tell how God changed his life and how he prayed, and God revealed to him the truth as he began to read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and to see the transforming power of the Word of God. Jesus made a powerful change in their life. See how God cleanses us. He says, he goes on to say, but some of you, such were some of you, but ye are washed. Thank God today. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been cleansed by the grace of God. Paul's referring to a new birth. When a sinner comes to Jesus by faith, the sinner's regenerated. If you're still troubled by your past deeds and you still have guilt associated with them, just remember one thing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not only that, but the word wash means to be purified. If you're saved, your sins will be gone. And by the way, this word is spoken in the middle voice. The word teaches us the Christian act upon himself. That means not only did the Lord wash us clean, but the work of his grace results in the washing of ourselves daily as we walk with him. See how he claims us. Look at verse 11. You're washed, you're sanctified. Now, sanctification is a continual work. Every day we live, we'll never be totally sanctified until we get to heaven. But every day we live, we're being sanctified. God has set us apart and he's using us for his honor and for his glory. It speaks of a positional sanctification, set apart to himself. And I believe today when we get saved, we're set apart to him. He speaks of 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. We know what we used to be, and then we wonder, how in the world could God use me? But God, in his mercy, forgives. Doesn't matter what you did. Makes no difference how you lived. And again, I'm not simplifying that, and I'm not trying to paint a pretty picture of it. But I'm telling you, Jesus can take your old life of sin and give you something new. It'll make all the difference in the world. And you know what? I think it's the McKimmies sing a song called Trophy of Grace, don't they? And I tell you, whatever one of us that have been saved by the grace of God, especially those who came from a rough background, we know that we're a trophy of grace, not by our doings, but by his doings in what he's done for us. God specializes in using sinners and using their failures to bring glory to his name. You say, what do you mean? Well, was Paul a likely person for God to use? No, but he sure used him mightily. Was David? Boy, David sinned against God many times, but God still used him. And how about Peter? Oh, Peter, he just couldn't keep his mouth shut. He was just always saying something that he shouldn't have said, or he spoke when he should have been listening. But God used him. What about Abraham and Jacob? And the list goes on and on. Then the word justified. Not only were we sanctified, but we're justified. And I always just say the simplest meaning is to be declared righteous. But somebody said to render one as he ought to be. To pronounce or to declare a person to be in right standing. When we come to Jesus, we're saved by His grace. And friend, if you're saved, you're in right standing with God. You may be out of fellowship with Him. And you may have sinned. You may have sin that needs to be confessed. But in your standing with Him is that you're saved. God sees us as though we never sinned. I tell you, that blows my mind. I can't even hardly comprehend that. In other words, when God looks at us, He sees the righteousness of God in Himself. He no longer sees what we were. Friend, I tell you today, I don't like to think about some of the things that I used to be and what I used to do. But I tell you, it doesn't matter. In the sight of God, it's all under the blood. Never to be remembered against me anymore. How could a holy God declare you and I righteous? The answer is found in Romans 3, 25 and 26. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That word, let it throw you. It just means substitute. Set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past. Through the forbearance of God to declare, I say unto this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and a justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Jesus, the innocent Redeemer, died in my place on the cross that I might be just and justified in His sight. By the way, all these things, God washed you. You'll remain washed. God sanctified you. You shall remain sanctified. God justified you, and you'll remain justified. You need to know where you've been. You need to know who you are. And then lastly, you need to know where you're going. Verse number 11, such are some of you, but you were sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of the Lord. He refers to the passage of Scripture. He said, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. The lost will not go to heaven. They will spend eternity in the flames. And by the way, the rich man in hell is no fairy tale. It's a true story of a man that died, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torment. But the redeemed are going to heaven because they're prepared to go. They've made arrangement. There's a place over there. The Lord said, He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. The redeemed are going to a land where flesh, sin, and Satan cannot follow. Can you imagine that? Man, there will be no flesh, no sin, no Satan. He will not be there. The redeemed are going to a land where the tears of the road will be wiped away. The redeemed have a place to go that is far better than where the lost will go. The only reason we're going is because Jesus died on the cross. Is it asking too much that we love Him? Is it asking too much that we serve Him? Is it asking too much that we remain faithful to Him? You see, to know Jesus is to live forever in heaven. To refuse Jesus is to go to hell. I know where I've been. I know where I am. And thank God today, I know where I'm going because I put my faith in Him. You can run a red light and perhaps survive and live. But if you fail to accept Christ as your Savior, you'll die in your sin and spend eternity separated from God. These are things that really matter if they're not settled in your heart. Come to Jesus today. Get it settled. Know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you need to know that He'll teach you the most important matters of life. These matters are settled in your heart. You should praise Jesus for what he's done in your life. Thank God for a mom and dad that believed in this old book. Thank God for a mom and dad that took me to a church where a preacher preached this old book. Thank God today from where I used to be to where I am to where I one day will be, I've found the most important issues in my life. Our Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity that's ours once again to open your word. Father, you've blessed us so well. You've given to us more than we ever deserve. Lord, we understand today that you have blessed us with an everlasting love. You've given us a place that is far greater than any other place we'll ever go. And Father, today I pray that you'd help us not to neglect the most important issues in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.